You're listening to In the Moment on SDPB. I'm Lori Walsh. South Dakota, the state of statues, may soon get some additions to our marble and granite faces. Seth Tupper spotted the funding for a statue garden in the so-called One Beautiful Bill. Tupper is editor-in-chief of South Dakota Searchlight. Brad Murdoch-Jurgensen is co-host of the Dakota Town Hall podcast and executive producer of the Rapid City Post. They join me in SDPB's Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio in Rapid City.
Well, yeah, I only look at the important stuff, obviously, in the big, beautiful bill, you know, and, you know, I scrolled past all the stuff about, you know, Medicaid and, you know, all the important. And I got to the really important stuff, which was, you know, statue garden.
Now we're talking.
But, you know, people might remember as background when Donald Trump was out here in 2020 at Mount Rushmore and they had the fireworks show during the speech that he gave. He introduced this idea that we should have a national garden of American heroes, or statue garden. And so there was speculation then that, you know, might that be in the Black Hills since he announced it here. And, you know, a lot of water under the bridge since then. It never happened, but he's revived the idea. And it turns out there's $40 million for statue procurement for the Garden of American Heroes in the Big Beautiful Bill. And, you know, sort of parallel with that, stretching back a few years, the NOM and then the Roden administration have been active proposing that be built on land in the Black Hills about a mile or two as the crow flies from Mount Rushmore that's privately owned by the Lean family out here in the Black Hills that is apparently willing to donate the land for it. And, you know, it splits people on whether that's a good idea or a bad idea, but, you know, when you look at Trump's executive orders on this, he has listed names in the executive orders of people who should be honored with statues, and there are some logical ones.
Here's where we're going to lose everybody.
Well, there's, you know, Martin Luther King Jr., Paul Revere, you know, Harriet Tubman. But then you get to names, Kobe Bryant, Julia Child, Whitney Houston.
I'm Vince for Marty, Julia Child.
Alex Trebek. It's a little bizarre. And so I wrote a commentary on this just saying, you know, the other aspect of it for me is it would be along Iron Mountain Road in a area that's undeveloped and very quiet and natural right now. And this would be a pretty giant disruption of that area and unplanned to just sort of plop down, you know, 50 statues and a giant parking lot that would be required for something like that. And then the plan that the Leans had drawn up even includes a tramway to tram people between Rushmore and this site. And so, yeah, it's all out there, whether it's going to happen or not in this, you know. Who knows at this point for an idea that's been around for 5 years already that still hasn't happened. So,
yeah. Before we'll get, we're going to dive into this idea of this question of why statues and why South Dakota, like what is our relationship with statuary and public art in just a minute. And we're definitely going to dive into where this money is coming from and what else it might have been earmarked for before. I want to make sure we touch on two other points that you wrote about in this column. Seth, a little history lesson about Dennis Dugard, governor of South Dakota, and a little history lesson about Peter Norbeck.
You'll have to remind me what the Dugard
reference Spearfish Cannon.
Yes.
Because I thought
yes.
The same thing. You said Dugard, and I was like, what did Governor Dugard?
Exactly.
And then it was Spearfish Canyon. And I went, oh, yes, Seth Tupper remembers Dennis Dugard wanting a state park in Spearfish Canyon.
Seth Tupper remembers after Lori Walsh reminds him.
After the new show, after In the Moment.
But, yes, but, you know, part of my thoughts on this are really informed by, you know, I grew up East River, and I'm a, you know, Black Hills transplant. And, you know, a number of years ago when Governor Dennis Dugard was governor, he proposed making a state park in Spearfish Canyon. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought, as he thought, apparently, and a lot of people thought, East River, oh, great, you know, let's protect Spearfish Canyon. Well, but there was a quite large backlash against that in the Black Hills, where a lot of people said, you know, we don't want Spearfish Canyon to become Custer State Park. We don't want hundreds of thousands of people streaming in and out and more development and trash and sewage and that we got to manage and all that. We kind of like the old Spearfish Canyon that was a little bit undeveloped. And there was a strain of rhetoric about that and a real pushback against that idea, and it fell apart. And there is not a state park in Spearfish Canyon today.
And now they're going to put a gold mine out there, so where'd that get you?
Right. And so that has always informed, I've always noticed that, and there's been other examples of that, but there oftentimes there are people from East River or national politicians who think something's a great idea for the Black Hills, and people in the Black Hills say, yeah, we're not so sure about that.
Listen, you guys take Trump's name out of this thing. This statue idea passes by like 60-something percent. It's not. It's just because we're not good at coming up with what else should be art to South Dakotans. I think we're being too hard on statues. If anything, let's expand our horizon on what could be art. I think we pick statues because statues are the easy art to pick as a state. No, I don't think we're... Are we statue crazier than Iowa?
Oh.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah. I do.
Yeah. I think so. I mean... Iowa, please give me a call in the moment at sdpb.org. You have until October 31st to send this email and let us know whether you have Mount Rushmore, Dignity, the Ark of Dreams, the Trail of Governors, and the City of Presidents. If Iowa has those things or has something that would be comparable to that.
Listen, if we didn't have some of these things, it'd be down to the Corn Palace, all respect
Sculpture
to Mitchell.
Walk? I forgot Sculpture Walk. No, I mean, Mount Rushmore, Crazy Horse.
Well, let's not forget, before they did Mount Rushmore, the original idea was to carve the needles into, statues of people. That was the original idea for that. So,
edit that out.
Let's not give anybody any ideas. But
the other thing I think I need to edit out of your column is the phrase, Big Beautiful Black Hills. Like, don't let that catch on. That's going to be a thing.
No.
Well, and to circle back to your question, the other thing about Peter Norbeck, you know, people may know, legendary South Dakota governor, senator, instrumental in the carving Mount Rushmore, the founding Custer State Park. He also personally traipsed and rode horseback through the Black Hills to survey the route for Iron Mountain Road and to make it as unobtrusive into nature as possible, and that's part of the reason why it's so winding and everything. And this would be this proposed location for the statue garden would be plopped right alongside Iron Mountain Road, and would really disrupt the plan for that road and the pains that were taken to preserve nature and to be as unobtrusive to nature as possible with that route.
Yeah. All right, so back to Murdoch's point. Why is South Dakota so into public art, specifically public art that looks like a sculpture?
I don't know if that's my question. I don't know if I agree with you guys.
Okay.
I think, doesn't every state have a thing? Shouldn't you want to, like, you know, you want the Capitol to be a, how do you think you get new future nerds to get into politics? They visit the Capitol and it's neat. And, if, you know, again, respectfully to peer, if you don't walleye fish or deer hunt or work in the government, Pier's a hard pitch. Why not throw some art and gardens and statue walks and stuff? There's not much else to do there.
You have great community theater.
Okay, I'll give you that.
A really good kitchen store. Some outstanding restaurants.
I'm not sure.
And some really fine people.
I don't see a lot of East River, you know what I mean? The Empire Mall don't make it in our tourism ads. There's a reason people come out here.
Right.
Well, I think that's part of it. You know, if you go back decades in South Dakota being sort of off the national map and needing to draw people out here somehow, it's gimmicks. You know, let's the Corn Palace statues.
Yeah.
You know, let's carve a mountain. Let, you know,
Wall drug.
It's sort of our history as a state is needing a gimmick to get people out here. Also, then enjoy the
America's
the
turning
Hills,
250, so everyone just buckle up and get used to some bunting and buy some now, because it like the local monster truck show next year is going to be America's monster truck show. And we are, like it or not, which you should like, a premier destination for these centennials and events, because
we should be
right. And so, like, I don't know, I think it's rad.
But the tension is, as I tried to point out in my column, the trick is, how much is too much and what's the balance?
I totally agree.
Right. And where does it go? Yeah.
And I don't love this current version of it where with Trump there's going to be a sponsored by McDonald's or a Hulk Hogan statue or whatever is going to come with it. Right. Like, that's a drag. But,
and I think,
you know,
and
we Seth's get
column,
through it.
Seth's column points out two really good things. And we know we have a really influential president who can, I mean, if it's in the bill, it's almost like, well, it's going to happen and it's going to be next week. The submissions for these statues were due July 1st of this year. So people possibly have already, you know, applied and are making their plans for this. But Seth brings up two really important points. And one is, I think, the people of South Dakota, with him mentioning Spearfish Canyon Project, that really saw a lot of pushback. So Governor Larry Roden could see a similar kind of pushback from the people of South Dakota, especially people who live in the Black Hills. And the second thing is, you know, the legacy of Peter Norbeck and walking that space and seeing what it should look like. Are we really ready to redevelop that in an era where development of any kind of infrastructure development, which we'll get to in the second part of our conversation today when we talk about water, any kind of development is under high scrutiny right now, including, I would think, a new attraction that would take up landscape footprint in the Black Hills, in the big, beautiful Black Hills of South Dakota. It's, I don't know that it's a done deal. I like what Seth wrote. I'm going to go on Team Seth on this one, Murdoch.
I'm always on Team Seth, really. Top rope, well, topper, baby.
And I could tell you, Lori, I mean, I already have, you know, since I wrote that column, there's a little cabal of people of the Black Hills who are emailing me constantly about this now, and even to the point where somebody shot aerial photos of this, and, you know, and they're watching it, and what's going on, you know. And so, I mean, yeah, there are people who are ready to oppose this. Now, you know, in this new era here, you know, in the first Trump era, it was a, you know, crazy idea, whatever, didn't happen. Now, as you pointed out, it feels more like, you know, hey, with the people Trump has in place and what, you know, what he's been able to do this term, it feels like we could wake up tomorrow and the statues might be out there already.
Well, and that's where the super Trumpers, to that point, kind of, where are the super, you know, the people that are like, everything he says is gold, let's go for it. But they're against, you know, development in South Dakota in this little Venn diagram I'm building. Where do they, which side of the magnet will pull to them the hardest, the anti-development or the need to be on the
Trump
team? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The desire for patriotic sculptures or the desire to have this not be in our backyard.
Listen, there's another pit. There's another bowling ball that it's not either or. I'm saying there's a middle ground. It don't have to be the McDonald's statue that's out by the, you know, off the interstate there. This could be done with taste, people.
Well, they have to be done in a realistic design. So no abstract sculptures.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, up to $200,000 per statue. This is, I'm going back to April 24th when the National Endowment for the Humanities did a press release about this, seeking applicants, and the deadline for application then was July 1st, which we have passed, and they were referencing President Trump's Executive Order 13978, and had a list of names, as Seth mentioned, historical figures, including those approved by President Trump's executive order. And at the time, I reached out to the National Endowments of Humanities because our state Humanities Council had been completely defunded and had all their federal funding removed. And then shortly after that, this press release was issued. And at the time, I asked the question, did you just move South Dakota and other states' funding to this project? And I did get a response from their communications director and said, no, this is not a transfer. I think the direct quote was, the $17 million NEH is committed to the Garden of Heroes project, matched by $17 million from the National Endowment for Arts, comes from the fiscal year 2025 congressional appropriations of $207 million, as directed by that executive order, not from repurposing any of the funds from grant projects that DOGE terminated. And that was the statement that I had gotten at the time. Reached out to Dusty Johnson's office. He said he thought that the garden should be privately funded. I haven't checked with him since April, because obviously his lot has changed since April as far as what he votes for funding and whatnot. So I should probably follow up on that. But the State Humanities Council, were they here, would definitely want us to say this is money that, or this is at least equal to money that was taken away from us for these South Dakota programs. So $200,000 for one statue is roughly equivalent to 1,000 humanities scholars programs in the state,
South Dakota.
Which aren't happening right now because they've been cut. 3 years of the Young Book Program for readers for one statue would equal that, which is giving out, you know, Wings of an Eagle by Billy Mills right now. So they would have, you know, a different look at this as far as how this is being funded. It's complicated.
Lori, we need a statue of Alex Trebek in the Black Hills. I mean, really. it's just the fact that we don't
mandatory.
Have that.
Again. If an artist said, I want to, you know, then it could be approved, but it could not. That was just a suggestion of possible American heroes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Doc, how do you define hero?
Oh,
American hero, go.
With time. That's how you define it, with time.
Well, and that is
a beautiful answer.
That is part of the broader argument to contextualize this. If you remember when Trump gave his speech at Rushmore in 2020, his speech was all about, you know, the context then was folks were tearing down statues of Confederate war heroes in the South, and we were having this national moment about, you know, our history and things like that. And his speech was about, you know, he went to Mount Rushmore partly because, you know, this, he wanted to, you know, protect what he sees as, you know, his idea of history, and we shouldn't be tearing down monuments to our history and things like that. So I mean, yeah, the idea of who we might memorialize in the statue garden also, it could get really controversial.
Yeah,
and
what
really
could go wrong?
Yes.
Could go wrong. However, you finding it in the Big Beautiful Bill would be an indication that this is a priority for this administration, and I think, as we said earlier in this conversation, with the 250th coming up, they're definitely looking for, everybody's looking for ways to celebrate America at 250, and this might end up being something that moves forward kind of quickly.
Yep. And it could be something else that we never hear about again, too. I don't know why.
I think that's so. 100%
move on
true.
To meme coins or whatever's next, you know?
Yep.
I did want to add before we move on to the next thing, which is the City of Presidents Project. I did this reporting back in April. I haven't updated it since then, but each of those statues from private funding is around $50,000. Statues along Pierce Trail of Governors is around $72,000 to create and install. And South Dakota's Trail of Governors works with the Community Foundation to manage donations. So,
and Murdoch could weigh in on this, but I saw some national coverage about the statue of Trump's proposed statue garden too, which is kind of funny. Which was, don't like the president's statues in Rapid City, don't they each take like 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, they take a while.
So can you imagine how long it's going to take to make 250 statues?
Well, maybe that's why the price is up there. You know, you pay express shipping. they're gonna two-day it.
If you're a foundry, send me an email in the moment at sdpb.org. All right. Now I want to go back and pick up a thread that we started talking about and move that forward, which is, you know, people saying, I don't want this in my neighborhood, not in my backyard. And we also have another topic here, which is about water in the Black Hills. And I feel like I could just sit back and listen to you two talk about it for a long time. But Murdoch, why don't you start with this? Because I'm referencing some reporting from South Dakota News Watch from Bart Fancook. I did want to say before we move on that Julia Lynn with Kello did a great job of covering Feeding South Dakota cuts there. National or South Dakota Humanities Council cuts and SDPB cuts, just looking at some of this federal funding and how it's affecting rural South Dakota.
So those are great pieces.
Yeah, I'll point people in that direction. But now I'm looking at Newswatch and Bart Fancook's reporting, and there might be something ahead in the new legislative session, Doc, that looks at water in the Black Hills. Can you summarize that?
Sure. I don't know if I'd phrase it as a new topic.
Right, fair. Yeah.
You know, this has been a several
I meant for us today
session debate in the legislature. Paraphrasing the great article by Newswatch, Bart did that was a great piece by him. You know, there's the topic of debate is maybe we don't, and I'm using some of your articles that you've written about this too, Seth. Maybe the Madison Aquifer isn't as long, doesn't have a long of a life as we think it might, and maybe we need to figure out other water projects. And you know, there's two methods of what we should do about it. Mm-hmm. One is, well, certainly let's develop, just like East River did, a West River water pipeline, and that project's been going on for years and people work hard on it. And then the other thought would be, you know, well, we better stop all development right now immediately and never build another house again. And, you know, one's pretty stupid and one's a good plan. And
is that fair?
I don't know where you want me to summarize. Sorry, I can't do this. Like, this is, the easiest thing in the world is for us to pick on Scott Odenbach and all of this group that doesn't want to develop anything. And I understand that's my instinct too. But, you know, it's all our fault. We put these people in peer. We are the reason. It's all the collective we, everybody, not by party. Like 71% turnout is not enough to get rid of these ding-a-lings.
All right. I got to stop you there.
Okay.
Is Scott Odenbach wrong? Because I'm looking back at some reporting that Seth has been doing for quite some time. I'm going back to 2023 here. You were looking at a time when you also thought, Seth, water, we had enough water in Rapid City and the Black Hills for decades to come, and then, oh, maybe not so much. And there is a report saying that from USGS, the current one, saying that the aquifer is not always refilling and recharging like you think maybe it would, even in non-drought years. So, Seth, give us some little context to the ding-a-ling comment there, which crosses the editorial guidelines of SDPB. Yeah.
This goes way back for me. You know, I think it was 2014, one of my first assignments for the Rapid City Journal. They had an event to celebrate the they put in a new gauge or something on Rapid Creek, and it was commemorative of the flood and everything. And then the mayor, Sam Quaker, gave a speech kind of boasting about, you know, we've been so forward-thinking, we've lined up enough water to last X number of years here in Rapid City. Mm-hmm. Oh, great, I thought, you know. Well, then I was in the room in 2019 for the Rapid City Journal when the West Dakota Water Development District heard the results of a study they commissioned from South Dakota Mines about, you know, do we have enough water in the Black Hills? And the shocker was that, you know, today, as we sit here, if we had a major drought in the Black Hills, the mine study indicated we would not have enough water for existing needs. And so that kickstarted the idea that, you know, maybe we need to look at other water sources and this idea that maybe we could do a pipeline from the Missouri River to the Black Hills. And now we have another study that is the subject of the Newswatch reporting about the aquifers and the groundwater in the Black Hills not recharging, you know, as fast as maybe we need to. And maybe we're already overusing some of the aquifers. So that's where they came along. And Scott Odenbach, according to the Newswatch reporting, who's the majority leader in the House and is from Spearfish, has said, you know, maybe we need to look at, you know, a law to stop people from withdrawing from some of these aquifers. And he had some really pointed comments about Elevate Rapid City, which is the economic development group here, accusing them of just being for growth's sake. And I thought some unfair comments from Odenbach about, you know, that somehow indicating that he is a local guy and he's concerned about the Black Hills and everybody in Elevate Rapid City just wants to, you know, take their money out of the hills and move on. Well, I mean, Elevate Rapid City is consisted of local people too, you know, who also
I'm on the board of live, so. Elevate Rapid City, just, you know, so I don't know if my opinion counts, and I don't know anything about aquifers, but, you know, I was born and raised in Elsister,
well, maybe
raised
you ought
kids
to find
in this
out.
State.
But, you know, I am really pleased, you know.
You're about to learn a whole lot
about
aquifers.
It seems like it.
I am really pleased that, you know, like I said, I've been fortunate to be in the room where some of these discussions have occurred over the years, and that this issue is getting attention, and that, you know, to me, what should the legislature be talking about? They should be talking about big overarching concerns like where are we going to get our water and do we have enough water for our you know, people and our development and everything. So that to me is encouraging that the conversation is really starting. Now, where Murdoch is going, I think, is, are we going to say, let's just not have any more development? I don't think that's very realistic.
The previous
governor
ran a national ad campaign telling people to move here, and sometimes up to 12 people moved into western South Dakota in one day. They need a place to live and they need a place to work, and it's just so unrealistic to think we can't develop these plans.
Yeah. And of course, where are we going to get that? The only big source of water that people seem to say that, you know, is available for western South Dakota would be the Missouri River. But the problem we have up here that you don't have, East River, obviously, is we got to pump it uphill to get it out here.
We do.
Which is a little different than just pumping it around
flat eastern South
Dakota.
And if you think a sculpture takes a long time to build.
Exactly.
Let me tell you how long it takes to build a water pipeline uphill.
Again, though, I know sometimes these are new topics for South Dakota because we're a rural state, but, like, they're growing monsoon crops in California. The technology exists to pump this water. We're not breaking new ground here. This isn't new science.
Yeah, but remember when the fires were burning in coastal California, where he's like, why don't they just pump? The technology exists to just pump ocean water. And it was like, yeah, it's not that simple to just put in billions of dollars of infrastructure to take care of this right away. So that's a huge financial commitment to do some of those things. Yeah,
we've got the Freedom Caucus to really sit and think on it.
All right. Well, so I'm going to pull out a couple things from Newswatch's reporting, just so people can go to sdnewswatch.org and read this. But the Black Hills aquifers remain sufficiently filled, but some areas, I'm quoting right from Bart's piece, referred to as sub-aquifers, are not recharging enough to meet the planned or current actual use of water. The portions of aquifers not sufficiently recharging tended to be in higher growth areas, roughly from Box Elder, hello, on the east, to Sturgis on the west. And Odebach told Newswalk, we got to have a conversation to ensure that we don't just heedlessly rush into water scarcity. So yeah. I do feel like we need to just get that since people don't have the piece, you know, in front of them. And he's looking at the USGS study and hoping to amend a statute passed in 1978 that prohibits water mining to get rid of a Black Hills exemption, as I understand that.
But also,
I don't know what his intentions are because I haven't interviewed him. But
he went went far beyond that, and again was very critical then, accusing.
Well,
people
let's start with the facts.
I think this isn't right, left, indifferent, but Senator Duhamel who has been on this topic for a long time, I think is pretty good about getting out there and stating the facts as they are and solutions that would work. And so I think facts are out there if you dig a little.
Yeah. Well, here's another thing from the report. I'm again quoting from Bart's story. The population of the Black Hills grew about 39% from 2000 to 2022, but surprisingly, quote, no increased well withdrawal patterns corresponding to population increases were observed. State wells that monitor aquifer levels also have not shown an overall water deficiency. So we have some facts to talk about, and then we have this very fast political, jabs back and forth, which you alluded to before, and which I now invite you to go back into. What's the deal between Representative Odenbach and Elevate Rapid City?
And just before we start, it's not like all of the representatives and senators who work in Pierre, everybody, is trying to do good. It's not like there's a bad guy list and a good guy list. But there are two very different thoughts in West River about trying to go back to the 40s and trying to deal with the modern growth we're having. And there's some of these things we know. If the Black Hills stop being a tourist attraction tomorrow, we still have an Ellsworth bomber coming. We have no choice. We have to grow. And we need solutions. We're no different right now than a lot of counties and a lot of developments. Everybody's about to have to go through a jail bond or a school bond almost everywhere in America. This is just the flavor of the moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's interesting to me, Scott Odenbach, besides being a legislator, is a lawyer, and he also has a real estate business. And so, we struggle with this attitude in the Black Hills sometimes that we all like to think that once we get our beautiful piece of the Black Hills, that's enough development.
It'll stop now.
I think we're good now. I've got my beautiful acreage. Why do you want to build all this stuff in the Black Hills? I'm good. And so I think there's some of that going on too, which is, it's like I can have my little piece of paradise in the Black Hills, but, I don't want you to intrude.
Then there's a fence up and no more Californias coming out here for the common phrase. And
is that true though? I mean, during tourist season, do businesses come? I mean, in Custer, for example, are those businesses owned locally or do they come make their money during the summer and then leave the business?
There's
owners?
A mixture, the Custer businesses that keep Custer thriving in the summer and most of these tourist towns out in the hills, most of those people also have chamber meetings in February and the towns exist outside of it. Now, do they have a lot of people come in and work? Sure, just like any tourist attraction. But, again, it's bigger than just Scott Odenbach, as much as Scott Odenbach wants it to not be. We need bridges. We need schools. We need roads. We need power.
Yeah. Seth, I remember Will Mortensen saying after the carbon capture pipeline legislation, Senate Bill 201, I hope he was here for an interview, and he said, I hope we don't become a state where nothing ever gets built again.
Right.
And I think that's what Murdoch is talking about, too, is that there's a great conversation to be had about what is the proper pace of growth and what is responsible growth and how do we look to the future. But Mortensen was saying at that moment, there's a turn in the conversation that is risking ever building anything because everyone's so suspicious of anything that wants to be built. Even this water pipeline, Odenbach called it a possible boondoggle.
Right.
Trying to take it out of right and wrong and the teams. Rapid City and the Black Hills, to me, it's right now we have a decision to make. Sioux Falls and Sioux City had these choices in the late 60s and 70s, and Sioux City, Iowa developed as it developed, and it continued to be a manufacturing and industrial town, and Sioux Falls went financial institutions and others, and you can see the difference between the two. And if you look at Rapid City, we're so similar to Colorado Springs, and Sioux Falls is like Denver. And Colorado Springs' economy is tourism, military, and agriculture. All three are important. All three need to exist, but it complicates growth.
Where do they get their water?
That's a great question.
Is that the Colorado River?
I suppose. I have no idea.
I
don't know about our aquifers. I don't dare speculate about theirs.
Seth, what were you going to say about what Mortensen's comment?
We're actually working on a story here about this right now, that there is this debate happening within the Republican Party where you have, and Dusty Johnson, we just reported on this last week. He did an appearance with the Greater Sioux Falls Chamber of Commerce where he went on kind of a diatribe about, you know, NIMBYism, and he called it, what do you call it? We don't just have NIMBYism anymore. We have bananas. Build absolutely nothing anywhere or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it was.
That's memorable.
You have people on that side of the debate who were sort of favorable to the carbon pipeline and were sort of mystified at how that took over Republican politics, and who are generally in favor of working toward things like building a water pipeline to West River. And then you have Republicans on the other side of the debate, like Scott Odenbach, John Hansen, some others, who, you know, label a project like a West River water pipeline a boondoggle, as you said, and Scott Odenbach, who in this South Dakota Newswatch story is decrying growth for the sake of growth. And you have, like I said, there are people like Dusty Johnson in the Republican Party. You hear that, and they're just absolutely puzzled, because they're saying, you know, this isn't the Republican Party that I grew up in. The Republican Party is supposed to be, you know, pro-business, pro-growth, et cetera. And then you have people in the other wing of the party who are given a very different message.
So do Roden and Johnson come down on different sides of this debate? In the Venn diagram, how much do they crisscross on this? Or is this a distinction point for their campaigns?
Well, I think one of the reasons you've seen Roden poll pretty well, in the early polling, was that he kind of straddles the fence on that. You know,
yes.
I mean, he identifies pretty well with some traditional Republican values, and he has a lot of traditional Republicans that he's brought into his administration, and he's conducted himself in a sort of a very traditional Republican way. But he also signed the bill banning eminent domain for carbon pipelines, you know, and he's done a fairly decent job of walking in both worlds there.
Yeah. Seth, explain Senator Duhamel's comments about water rights in the future, and saying if we don't look ahead to how this works.
Yeah. Well, let me hearken back to another column I wrote. Look at the Missouri River. You mentioned Colorado Springs and things. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. Communities in the West are increasingly desperate for water, and there are only so many places to get it. And I wrote a column several years ago saying, you know, eventually they're going to wake up and realize all this water we've got in all these Missouri River reservoirs, and they're going to want to tap that. And as I had experts quoted in that story saying, I think Jay Gilbertson has said this many times over there with the East Dakota Water Development District, that, you know, when you don't have water, it doesn't matter what the cost is. You're going to pay whatever you need to get it. And so when people say, oh, you know, you can never do a Missouri River pipeline, you know, into the West, and you can, well, you know, when you get desperate enough for water, things don't look as expensive as they used to, or, you know, as cost prohibitive as they used to. And so that's where we're at, I think. And I think that's a part of the discussion that needs to be had, too, is, okay, are we not going to build a Missouri River pipeline to West River, South Dakota? Well, what are we going to do when Denver wants to do it then?
Right.
You know, or
where it gets federally,
like,
you know.
And all of a sudden, we didn't protect our own water rights, you know, before somebody else comes looking for it.
You guys don't think during the times of the Roman days when they were building the aquifer, there wasn't some dude on the side going, this is a boondoggle, you know, it's just, this is how it goes.
I just watched a PBS Rick Steves travel show where he was talking about the aquifer. So, yes, I think that's true. All right, Colorado Springs mostly gets its water from mountain streams and then also from the...
Oh, yeah, like the beer. should have known that.
Several river basins, Arkansas River
they
Basin.
They can just drink Coors
Colorado River Basin.
They'll be fine.
I'm gonna throw one more thing. Just yeah. Let them drink beer. One more thing is in here though, is that this idea of drought and shifting weather patterns and looking ahead to saying we might not always have the water that we have now. And that's not a dumb thing to look at.
Yeah, absolutely. And knowing what we have in the resources in the Missouri River, I always think back to, I had this instance one time when I was reporting at the Daily Republic in Mitchell, and Mitchell got put on a Missouri River pipeline. They had previously got their water from Lake Mitchell, and it was some of the stinkiest water in the state. Anyway, at this celebratory event, and I
but
asked,
it was wet.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and when you're thirsty, Jay Gilbertson it doesn't matter too. What the yeah. water
and
smells
I asked,
like.
Somebody who was managing, I think it was the BY water pipeline that Mitchell's on at the time, and I was a young reporter, and I thought, man, you know, can we just continually tap the Missouri River? I mean, aren't we? Isn't that good? And the person at the time, who I've forgotten their name, but they were a pipeline manager, told me that if you took all the uses of the Missouri River, all the pipelines, all over eastern South Dakota at that time, it would be such an insignificant amount, you know, it would be like somebody drinking with a straw out of the Missouri River, basically. That's how much water is in that system. And so we have had this incredible, incredible resource in the Missouri River that as development continues and the West dries up and et cetera, boy, that is, there could be a stampede for that resource at some point in time.
Yeah.
And we need to be ready for that.
All right. Really good conversation, you guys. I'll send folks to South Dakota Searchlight. Yes, SouthDakotaSearchlight.com and DakotaTownHall.com. You can find these fine gentlemen at work. We also quoted sources today from SDNewsWatch.org and KelloLand.com as well as we do a roundup of local reporting across the state. Guys, thanks so much. We'll see you next time.
Good to see you.
Thanks for having us.